Now live from the Window World Studios, this is the McGraw Show on the Big 550 and KTRS.com.
I think it's interesting. The president just said something, which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror.
That is the audience actually applauding moderator Candy Crowley last night for what, in my memory, was the first time a moderator fact-checked a candidate live while the debate was going on. Fact-checking is actually the job of my friend Bill Adair, who's the editor of PolitiFact.com, and I've asked him to join me this morning and talk a little bit about the claims from last night's debate. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. Well, fact-checking, all the cool kids are doing it now.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that from a moderator during a debate?
I don't recall it in a fall presidential debate. I do believe there were probably moments in the many primary debates. There were like 19 or 20 for the Republicans, where there were probably some moments where one of the Fox or CNN anchors stepped in and did something to some extent to that. But I think it does speak to, we're at a new moment in politics, both in terms of the magnitude of all of these messages, but also I think the media is really stepping up to do that kind of fact-checking. And what Candy did was I think, you know, part of a trend. I've been telling people this is the year of the fact checker.
And I'm happy to hear it, because as far as I'm concerned, this is what news people are supposed to have been doing all along.
Exactly. Why weren't we doing this 20 years ago?
What about that claim about what the president said in the Rose Garden?
Yeah, we fact-checked. There's some important nuances here. So we fact-checked the claim by Mitt Romney that President Obama waited 2 weeks to call the attack in Libya terror. And we rated that half true for this reason. Obama's right. He did say in that statement in the Rose Garden the day after the attacks, no acts of terror will ever shake the resolve of this great nation. However, in the subsequent days, the administration was not characterizing it as a planned attack by terrorists, but instead as a spontaneous demonstration in reaction to the anti-Muslim video that had been posted online.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, Romney has a point. And of course, this has been a complaint of many Republicans about the Obama administration, that they were way too slow, particularly Susan Rice, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., in acknowledging the truth about what happened. And so we rated it half true. It's one of these classic cases where the statement has some literal truth, but the underlying point is still significant.
Yeah, but it's all a matter of kind of internal politics. I don't think many Americans are going to be basing their vote on what was said after the tragedy in Benghazi. Of course, we'll find out after next Monday night's debate, which is supposed to be all about foreign policy.
Yeah, and we did another fact check on this during after the vice presidential debate. I think you and I may have talked about last week about the whether it was on Biden's claim that the administration had not had a request for more embassy security in Libya. So, you know, this is one where the administration's under fire. You know, I think you make a good point. It's not like this is going to this one issue will necessarily swing the election, but I think all these things add up for voters, and I think it's beginning to really matter what the candidates say and how accurate it is in terms of a candidate's credibility.
All right, now let's talk about jobs, which was the very first thing brought up. This 20-year-old guy named Jeremy got up there and said, you know, in a couple of years when I graduate from college, we hear that half of us who graduate won't be able to find jobs, and Romney got up there and talked about how he wants to bring manufacturing jobs back to America, and Obama was talking about how he wants to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. I don't know about you, Bill, but when I looked at Jeremy, he didn't look like the kind of guy who wants to go into manufacturing.
He wants to work in a steel mill.
I don't think he does.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, the issue about kids coming out of school who can't get a job, we looked at that in the last debate when Romney said something identical, and we rated that mostly true. The reason is that it's not just a matter of not being able to find a job. It's a job that a quarter have found a job, but one that does not require a college degree. So they're sort of underemployed. So we've given Romney a mostly true for that. This is a funny one more broadly about the college kids. We did a fact check on an ad a while back by American Crossroads that said 85% of college graduates end up moving back in with their parents because their economic position is so bad. We traced that down and found that this was sort of one of these urban legends. It had come out of a alleged survey, but we never found any proof the survey was actually conducted. The firm that did it was defunct. The guy who was in charge of it was like in the Bahamas. But it was a claim that was getting repeated a lot in the political discourse. So it's college students have been the subject of some exaggerations in this campaign.
By the way, as a longtime radio guy, I would have loved it if Jeremy had stood up and said, "Hi, I'm 20 years old, first-time voter, long-time citizen." But that's just me as a talk radio guy. But while we're speaking about jobs, there was also a question about pay equity, fair pay for women. And one of the things that was brought up was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, which was, I believe, the first thing that President Obama signed into law. What have you discovered about that and the claims about it?
Yeah, this is a point Obama has made before. He said last night that Mitt Romney... and he was referring actually to a Romney spokesman. He said that when asked whether Romney supported it, the campaign spokesman said, "I'll get back to you." And his point was that Romney has refused to say whether he'd sign the Lilly Ledbetter bill. We rated that mostly true. Indeed, Romney has never explicitly answered whether he would sign it. What he has said is now that it's law, he would not work to overturn it, which is sort of a middle ground between opposing it and supporting it, basically saying, well, it's the law, I'm not going to oppose it. So mostly true for Obama on that one.
Okay, when they finish with jobs, or as part of the jobs discussion, actually, Romney brought up the five-point plan, which Obama says is really just a one-point plan. But one of Romney's 5 points is we need to create energy independence, and for that we need to create energy jobs in this country. That he says oil production is down 14% on federal land, and this led to a real debate between the two candidates over what was true and what wasn't true. I specifically wrote it down. I got to ask Bill Adair about this from PolitiFact. I got to ask him tomorrow morning, what's the story with oil production on federal lands? Have you looked into this one?
Well, we've looked into it a few different ways, and the gist of it is that they're both cherry picking numbers, and you have to look more broadly beyond just a year's numbers. So the 14% is referring to the change from 2010 to 2011. We talked to an energy expert who used to run the Energy Information Administration, and he's like, you can't draw conclusions from just 1 year, and so you need to look more broadly overall. And so it just depends on what you find. And Romney's claim oil production is down 14% on federal land. That's true, but that's just 1 year. In the previous years, it was up 11.7% 1 year and 14.9% another year.
And does that year include the BP spill? I don't even know if the Gulf of Mexico counts as federal land, but we had the Deepwater Horizon BP spill in that year. Does that count?
Yeah, I believe that's what caused the drop-off. I would have to go back to our fact check and see. I know that we referred to that. So that's why it's not wise to just pick 1 year. You really need to look more broadly. And overall, if you start start from Obama's presidency from the start in 2009, he's generally seen a gain. So in that sense, he's right, but there was this decline last year. So, you know, it's really cherry-picking.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about taxes and spending, which are always a major point of debate between these two. They have completely different plans about how they want to go forward. What have you fact-checked on these issues?
This has been really tricky for us, as I think you and I talked about after the first presidential debate.
Yep.
Romney has not been specific about how he would pay for these things. And so it's been really difficult for us to come up with any concrete fact checks on, for instance, what the Obama campaign has tried to do is to extrapolate. So they'll say, well, to pay for his 20% tax cut, Mitt Romney would have to come up with, I think the number he used last night was $8 trillion. Now, that number that he used, I think it was $5 trillion for taxes, $2 trillion in military spending, another trillion for, I forget what the additional expense was. That number is pretty accurate, one of our writers was saying. Where the Obama campaign has gone a little too far, though, is when they say Mitt Romney would raise such and such tax by such and such amount. And they just can't know that because Romney hasn't said anything. And so the challenge for fact checkers has been we've got to fill in the blanks where the Romney campaign has not provided specifics about how it would pay for the 20% tax cut.
Yeah, you know, in trying to nail Romney down on specifics, the citizens last night who were asking the questions found out how frustrating it can be to be a reporter here trying to get any politician to give me a direct answer to a direct question. You can ask them A, B, and C, and they go, well, on X, Y, and Z, let me say this.
Yeah, it really is challenging. A couple people have suggested that PolitiFact, that we create a new meter that would assess how well people answer questions. So maybe that's the way to do it, a dodge-o-meter.
Dodge-o-meter as opposed to the truth-o-meter.
Exactly.
Okay. Last thing I want to ask you about is health care, which surprisingly to me did not come up all that much, considering that in Mitt Romney you have the guy who essentially created a health care program in Massachusetts that was a model for what later became what people call Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Were there things that were said last night that were egregiously true or false?
I'll tell you, I don't think we've got anything. We've got six more fact checks we're working on today, and I don't think any of the – well, one of them involves contraception. And this is one we're looking into, a claim by Obama about that he put in the law that employers have to cover contraception, and Romney sort of counter and claiming that Romney has – because he supported the Blunt Amendment from your senator there, that he therefore opposed that. So we're looking into that today. We're also looking into a claim that Obama said that President Bush never suggested we eliminate funding for Planned Parenthood. It was interesting. Yeah, healthcare really was not a big topic last night. And I think that's why the town hall debates are so interesting, because the participants set the agenda, and that obviously was not a huge one for them.
Yeah, maybe that's not a big issue for swing voters this year.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one, the campaigns tell us that the swing voters are largely women, particularly suburban women, and so I think that's why we're hearing so much about contraception. There's a new Romney ad that cites PolitiFact's work on fact-checking a claim about abortion rights and Romney. And so I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about that here in the home stretch.
How do you feel about that, by the way, as a nonpartisan news organization that's going out and simply trying to discern what are the facts and what is true and what is false, when a candidate then uses your conclusions in their ads ads which may themselves include truths and or falsehoods as well. What do you feel about that, Bill?
Yeah, we're good with that as long as they're quoting us accurately, but we will ding them if they don't. For instance, the Obama campaign misstated some of our work. We have a feature called the Obameter that rates Obama's campaign promises. And there was a campaign commercial from the Obama campaign that said, PolitiFact has said he kept his promises on transparency or whatever. Well, half true. You know, he kept some of his promises on transparency, but he broke others. And so we will, if they misstate our work, we will do a truth meter item on that and fact check how they use us. My favorite moment of this being not in an ad, but a debate, when Michelle Bachmann said, when challenged about her credibility, that everything we had rated of her in the previous debate had earned a true. Well, she was wrong. The previous debate, she got a pants on fire. So we gave her another pants on fire for misstating how we had rated her. So that's a good thing. The truth-o-meter never rests.
It is a great site that I use as a resource throughout the election year, PolitiFact.com. Also, I strongly suggest if you're on Twitter, you follow them, at PolitiFact, because as soon as they come to a conclusion about something, whether it's mostly true, mostly false, or pants on fire, they tweet a link to it, and you can go see exactly what they said about whatever they've been studying. It's a really, really great service you do, Bill, and I appreciate you spending so much time with me here today.
Thanks so much. Happy to do it, Paul.
Bill Adair, editor of PolitiFact.com, here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.